We have a new pope in the Vatican, and the jury will be out for some time on where he'll fit in the pantheons of the papacy. Today, we're talking about some of his predecessors, the really bad ones. Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe,
a News Talk original.
Well, the Vatican now has its first ever American Pope, Leo XIV.
And thank you for this wonderful reception. They say when they clap at the beginning, it doesn't matter much. If you're still awake at the end and you still want to applaud, thank you very much.
And while Donald Trump may have falsely claimed to have had an influence on the conclave, the excesses of the Trump regime would hardly have been out of place in Rome at various points throughout its history. So let's have a look in this episode at some of those who definitely didn't get a clap at the end of their reign. The worst popes in history. In Rome's searing heat in the August of 1492, the 60-year-old Rodrigo Borgia left a lavish ceremony, crowning him as the new head of the Catholic world. Also leaving that ceremony were a bunch of cardinals with considerably heavier wallets, thanks to the new Pope Alexander VI. Now, the Borgia name might ring a bell in the back of your mind. They were one of the most powerful and influential families of the Renaissance, and one of the most controversial. Rodrigo was born in Valencia in the Spanish branch of the family and was made a cardinal as a teenager by his uncle, another pope, Calixtus III. You might also know this family from the TV series The Borgias, fronted by Jeremy Irons and directed by Neil Jordan, who has something of a fascination with Rodrigo Borgia.
This guy wanted to embrace his entire family, and he wanted to make the Church of Rome the kingdom for his family, basically. That's one of the reasons why he's so notorious. Italy at the time was shocking. There were orgies enacted in the Vatican and prostitutes. In Italy, that kind of power led to very flamboyant cruelty. And Rodrigo Borgia used that power so nakedly that he became, you know, became a scandal throughout the world.
Borgia was not one to be tied down by anyone telling him what he could or couldn't do with a woman. And by the time his papacy had begun, he had at least 7 children by 2 different women. His plans for all of them showed that he was a keen political operator, securing alliances through marriage to strengthen his position both in Spain and in Italy. He rose to become Dean of the College of Cardinals and was accused of using that role to sell positions in the church to those politically supportive of him. Rodrigo was shaping up to install the Borgias as a political dynasty in Rome through his 2 sons, Juan and Cesare. Now, he adored Juan and at best tolerated Cesare, but his favourite son became a victim of the family's political scheming and was found washed up in the River Tiber with multiple stab wounds at the age of just 21, with his purse still on him, launching one of the greatest murder mysteries of the time. Cesare, meanwhile, had no interest in the papal life and eventually convinced his father to release him from being a cardinal. As Borgia's power grew, so did the number of his enemies, with detractors accusing him of holding orgies in the Vatican, poisoning his way to office, and even of incest with one of his daughters after an unexplained child emerged in the Borgia family. So convoluted was the plotting of Alexander VI, it inspired one of the 20th century's most notorious film characters, Vito Corleone.
Now you come to me and you say, Don Corleone, give me justice. But you don't ask with respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me godfather. Instead, you come into my house on the day my daughter's to be married and you ask me for the murder, money. Buonasera. What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
Pope Alexander VI died in 1503 after falling ill at a banquet. His son Cesare also fell ill, but managed to recover. And while historians mostly suspect malaria, of all things, there are those who believe the gangster Pope fell foul of poison at the dinner table. From gangsters to Game of Thrones, our second entry on the list of pretty terrible popes was the 202nd man to hold the office. Bartholomew Prignano was educated in Avignon in France and became the Archbishop of Cremona near Naples in the early 1300s. A few years later came the death of Pope Gregory. Now, he had been one of a number of popes to rule at Avignon in southern France rather than in Rome, and the Italian cardinals, looking to change that, began to scheme and plot to put one of their own on the throne. Naturally, that was opposed by the French cardinals, and a split emerged in the conclave. Looking to break that impasse but still get their own way, the Italian cardinals did a rare thing. They looked outside the conclave, away from one of their own, for a consensus candidate. Enter Bartolomeo Prignano. The Italians and the French saw a mild-mannered archbishop that they could control and mould, while other voters saw someone who had a foot in both camps, having been educated in France and being Italian. He was elected Pope on the 8th of April 1378 and became Pope Urban VI. But the level-headed bishop became a hostile pope. He quickly developed a reputation for flying into a rage with cardinals. And fearing this new pope and thinking he was favouring his fellow Italians, the French cardinals fled Rome. Months later, they declared the appointment of Urban null and void and declared a new pope from France, Clement VII, who became the anti-pope. Thus started the Western Schism of the Catholic Church, a battle as fit for the throne of Westeros as the throne of the Vatican.
Power resides where men believe it resides. It's a trick, a shadow on the wall. And a very small man can cast a very large shadow.
Battles were fought over the papacy, and Urban proved himself more than adept at violence, capturing and torturing cardinals who he believed had plotted against him. He's said to have bemoaned the fact that their screams weren't louder. The schism in the church would go on to last decades long after Urban VI's death, two rival popes in two rival countries splitting the church down the middle. At one point, there was even a third pope declared in a bid to end the split and find a compromise candidate. By then, Urban was long dead, either from poisoning or injury sustained when he fell off a mule, splitting the church in half. Not a great legacy for the leader of the Catholic world. Urban's story is far from the only power grab in the history of the church. Another name who regularly appears on the list of worst popes is Boniface VIII. He was one of those men who thought everyone should bow to him, quite literally. After picking a fight with the King of France at the time, he issued what was called a papal bull. It was a decree saying all kings and rulers bowed to him, and as a result, he had ultimate control of all armies in the land, including that of France. Now, naturally, the people who actually led those armies had a different opinion. Having called bull on his bull and having heard of plans to excommunicate him, the French King Philip IV had Boniface captured and beaten, leading to his death a few weeks later. Boniface also goes down in literary history, having been placed in the third circle of hell by the writer Dante in his Inferno for the sin of simony, or selling off offices of the church. Have you ever hated your boss? Maybe thought about a bit of revenge for something they had done in the past? Well, I submit to you our next entry on the list of truly terrible popes. In the late 1800s, popes were much more involved in royalty, crowning and giving religious legitimacy to kings across Europe, which is what Pope Formosus did when he crowned Duke Lambert of Spoleto as the head of the Holy Roman Empire. But then the Pope changed his mind and crowned instead another guy, King Arnulf. Sure enough, the original emperor didn't take that lying down, and a war broke out over the crown. Now, lucky for Pope Formosus, he was safely dead at that point, or so you might think, because supporters of the decrowned Duke of Spoleto managed to rig the conclave to elect Pope Stephen VI, and he was out for vengeance on behalf of his political benefactors. What happened next became known as the Cadaver Synod. Maybe you can guess where I'm going here. 9 months after Pope Formosus had been buried, Pope Stephen VI ordered his body to be exhumed so that Formosus could face a trial. He dressed up the decaying pope in his papal vestments and put him on the stand. A deacon was appointed to answer for Formosus, with some suggestions he did so by moving the expired pope's jawbone up and down. Now that is what you call working pro bono. Rather unsurprisingly, Pope Formosus lost his case. He was stripped of his vestments. All decisions he had ever made as pope were annulled. He had the three fingers that he used for blessings cut off, all before his body was dragged through the streets of Rome and tossed in the River Tiber. Even for the attitudes of the day, this shocked most people at the time, and Pope Stephen VI didn't last a year on the throne before he was deposed, imprisoned, and strangled to death himself. Now, Rome has always been known as a city of indulgence. Do like the Romans do. And who could judge someone who's sitting out on a sunny piazza if they want to open another bottle of wine over a rich carbonara? Who could blame them? But living the high life can have its consequences. And so it proved for Giovanni de' Medici. From the rich Florentine banking family, Giovanni was used to the finer things in life. And he came to the papacy in the early 1500s, taking on the name Leo X. Now, on the one hand, he funded some of the finest artwork of the Renaissance and kept the money rolling in to support the building of St. Peter's Basilica. But to do that, he kicks the sale of indulgences into high gear. This was essentially blessings for cash, to get a family member out of purgatory or whatever else you needed blessed, you know yourself. His papacy became more known for books than blessings, angering a certain German monk named Martin Luther. He then went on to nail the 95 Theses to a church door, kicking off the Reformation and a further split in the church, all under the reign of Leo X. He does leave the office with one of the most infamous quotes in papal history, though.
"Since God has given us the papacy, let us enjoy it."
What were you doing at the age of 18? If you were anything like me, probably making poor life decisions. So imagine now you became Pope as a teenager. And that's just what happened with Pope John XII. His powerful father had rigged the conclave before he died, and the 18-year-old became John XII. But he kept up many of the nocturnal activities of a pretty normal 18-year-old and was in fact accused of turning the Vatican into a brothel. He also didn't really take the religious part of being Pope all that seriously and was criticised for ordaining a deacon in a stable. He couldn't manage the political scene as well as his father and was expelled from office under the pressure of some kings that he'd managed to annoy. John was just 26 when he left office and died a year later, allegedly suffering a stroke or heart attack while in bed with another man's wife. Or it may just be that man came home at the wrong time. Now, the list of bad popes could go on for many more podcasts, but just to briefly give you a flavour of some of the other candidates for worst pope in history. Pope Benedict IX, he was accused of sexual misconduct, rape, orgies in the papal apartments, and corruption on a massive scale. Pope Paul IV, he led a crackdown on artists and actually considered whitewashing the works of the Sistine Chapel. But his worst act was to create a Jewish ghetto in Rome where Jews were forcibly contained in cramped and squalid conditions. And Julius II often gets a bad rap too. He was nicknamed the Warrior Pope and started wars between the Papal States, Venice and France. So there you go, maybe the new Pope doesn't quite seem so bad now, does he? That's just some of the chancers, scoundrels and eejits who have held the position of Pope in the last 1,000 years or so. Don't forget to subscribe to Let Me Explain. You can catch new episodes on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud or wherever you get your podcast. I will chat to you next week.